Hey, Alan here.
And the Chris.
And just before the start of this week's episode, we would like to say thank you for listening and also to make you aware that if you enjoy this podcast, there are several other podcasts that we think could enjoy. Firstly, starting with our own podcasts, I present the DCAU podcast with a friend of mine, Rebecca Hart, where we discuss the animated DC movies.
And if you love my dulcet tones, you can hear me on the Turning Heel podcast, a weekly professional wrestling podcast, the Tom Buckle Arms, which is a monthly professional wrestling podcast, or A Happening In, which is a crime slash ghost slash conspiracies slash weird stories podcast.
Also, if you enjoy a bit of robot combat podcasting and you want to hear some more, I really recommend checking out the Botcast list, the link for which is in the episode description. Finally, before we start this episode, a reminder that Rise of the Robots is protected under a Creative Commons 4.0 International Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike International License. Hi, I'm Alan.
I am the Grizz.
And welcome to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering Techno Games 2001, Day 4. So yeah, we are getting towards the latter half of the first week.
Yes. And we're finally starting to get into the sort of like more interesting events that are continuing to go on, like the swimming and all that's really starting to ramp up to the next level.
Yep, and one other event that's been kind of carrying on quite a bit is the shot put, which is our first event. So
yeah, and what it does start to get more interesting because we're starting to get some of these, you know, more heavy hitters.
So we start off with, and again, one other thing, it kind of, I noticed this with a lot of the, because spoiler alert, we're recording 4 episodes today, so we've seen a lot of shot put, a lot of swimming, and a lot of sprints.
This is why you need to learn kayfabe.
Oh. I know about kayfabe. It's what managed to convince people that certain human beings were decent human beings when they weren't. So, one thing I notice in a lot of these is there seems to be, particularly in the shot put, much less robots being shown at once. So, for instance, in the shot put here, there are only 2 entries. Which are Vesuvius, which is a catapult that looks like a volcano.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Catapult.
It doesn't look like a volcano.
It looks apparently like a person. And actually, the idea does not look terrible. It's a gas-powered thrower.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, like... I agree that it doesn't look bad, like, and the art that was kind of put into it was very appreciative, but clearly, like, it's points for style and not points for substance with this one.
I do wonder, there's a few robots here, and it is clear there are a lot of teams that aren't testing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very much a case of a robot that I don't think tested.
Difficult, like, when you kind of bring up testing, it's like, yeah, sure, because everybody just has your average shot put ball, like, lying around the house.
Well, I mean, it's strange because I come from this weird environment where I go, but I did shot put at school, and then I go, yes, that's when you went to private school, Alan.
Look at Alan and his fucking shot put at school.
Oh, guarantee no. Oh, I mean, it's... Yeah, I went to private school for 2.5 years, to be fair, so it wasn't like it was like... It wasn't like from the beginning to the end, but... So, one other thing I noticed... Is this being recorded in the Robot Wars building? It certainly looks like the same pit.
That's the same notes that I have. Because, as I said, it's clearly being recorded in the Robot Wars pits.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to assume that probably every other season, like maybe that's why there's a massive difference between this season and last season, is they're recording it in the Robot Wars just all out, whereas obviously last year they were recording it in the Millennium Dome.
Yeah.
And so why, like, this year they're allowed to have stuff like the petrol powered robots for the sprint in the arena, which they didn't last year.
Yeah. So, whilst Catapult completely and utterly misfires both times, and I don't even think it actually, the ball actually hits the sand.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't even go forward. Like the robot kind of activates, for lack of a better term, and it just kind of shakes violently, and then the shot putt just kind of drops. So, even, I think, one of the earlier robots, one of the ones that has, like, the spinning mechanism, like, at least got, like, you know, 0.15 meters out of, like, one of their attempts because it hit the cage.
Yeah. So,
even Miss Catapult, I don't even think the shot putt actually got off of the podium it was on.
Meanwhile, you have Vesuvius, who very much hits targets.
Mm-hmm.
Because, so Vesuvius, its first throw is its best. Both throws are within 10 centimeters of each other, and both of them are over 10 meters.
Yeah.
In fact, I believe that this, it's a... I'm a wee bit unsure because obviously, as I said, we've watched 4 episodes back to back and this is the first one. I believe this sets the world record.
A new record!
Of 10.65 meters!
Well, this is the question that I have for you regarding Miss Catapult. What was its problem exactly? Do you think it was what it was made of? Like, so when... Because, I mean, it was clearly made out of, like, I'm going to assume some kind of wood, plywood, maybe, and it just wasn't strong enough so that when it was hit to activate and it just vibrated, like, violently, it's because, like, maybe the material wasn't good enough for it? Like,
It might have been. I get the impression they had the design they wanted to make.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't actually stop to think if it would work. They wanted a robot that looked like a person.
Yeah. Most as they ever had, other than maybe Mighty Midget.
I do wonder, because it's one thing, I do wonder if they should have had, a bit like with the rope climb, having an elastic class and both of this and the jumping categories... an elastic class and a gas-powered or mechanical class.
Yeah, because I think in these seasons you start to see that, like, pretty much some of these robots in the shot put just become glorified cannons.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I think maybe if the rules for that were changed a bit earlier, it probably would have worked out better, because... I'm pretty sure, like, maybe it starts next season, but I'm pretty sure that a lot of the elastic band made robots don't exactly do much anymore in
yeah.
these layers.
So we next move on to the swimming, where we have 3 heats.
We do, and our first heat, which is really weird when the way that they've done this, but they have Quack Attack 2.
which is a paper mache duck.
They have Jaws with a Z,
which is a shark.
I put in brackets, they're confident.
They are, indeed. Fuck knows why.
Yeah, Jesus. We have Sporka the whale,
which is a black dome.
We have Robobob,
which is a paper mache head.
Isn't that like a kind of paper mache fish?
Yeah.
And Dino Duck.
So this is the team that's entered like 15 million robots and actually could have... I actually wonder if, just to be fair to them, they should have put them all in the same heat so one of them got through.
Literally about to say that. Like, just they should have just had a heat of just all their robots. And then, like, they could have done this funny thing where it's like, Ed interviewed the dad. It's like, oh, this is my robot. Da-da-da. And then they moved on to, like, the kids, and it's like, this is my robot, da-da-da. And then, like, while he's interviewing, like, the dad just walks behind the camera to the third robot, and then moves on, it's like, oh, this is my robot, da-da-da, and then moves on to the next one, the kid's there again, then the dad. So, but, like, they just play it off completely as if, like, there's nothing the matter.
Yeah. So it's basically, it's a boat robot with a floating ring on it.
Oh, and it's made of polystyrene, so every time they squeak it, I just die.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there was a part where I think, like, they had a little girl there that they didn't have before, and she flubbed the name. Like, the little boy was like, it's Dino Duck, and then the dad just lifts up the rubber ring and just sticks it. It's like, yep, can pretty much confirm that's a dinosaur.
So,
well, here's the question. I think we might need to look back on this, but of the six, maybe seven robots that they put in this, which one would you think would have won? Because, needless to say, they all done pretty damn poor.
Yeah. I don't know. I do know pretty much, and this is something that becomes a theme in the first rounds. One robot is really effective and gets really far, and the rest all flounder, and the one that wins despite the fact it spends half the race grinding its face against the wall.
Boink. Boink. I'm going to do it. Boink. Oh, I'm going to make it boink. Oh, this is boink. Oh, I won. Boink.
And yeah, it's just... Yeah. It gets 102, which isn't a terrible time. It's Robobob.
Robobob.
Yeah.
Good boy.
As opposed to the robots in the next round. Oh, God. Do you remember there was a robot that finished second in one of the heats in, like, a minute and a half?
Yeah.
That one doesn't get to the semi-finals, but something from this heat does.
Yeah, I can't help but feel as if they should have restructured those rules, but, like... well, like, if you managed to finish within a certain time, then you would maybe be accepted if someone that finishes on a slower time, if that made any sense.
Well, it's not that it really matters that much, but anyway, so Heat 5, we have Eric the Eel.
Given we are arguing about a 20-plus-year-old show.
So. I know.
So we have Eric the Eel.
Which is a black pyramid.
Yeah, it's not even slightly eelish whatsoever. XLR8.
Accelerate, which looks like a torpedo.
Sure as fuck doesn't move like one.
You say that.
Deus Ex Machina?
Wow, you managed to say that giggling. So, this is like Accelerate, but smaller and black-coloured.
And crappier, somehow.
Yes.
We move on to RoboDuck.
They're back again. And yeah. It's a swan, not a duck.
And then Ed Hall interviews them, like, very sarcastically, like, okay, what's this one? Looks like a giant swan. And then he starts to walk away, and then the kid calls him back. It's like, oh, BBC, we're going to give this to BBC Two if they want it. And BBC Two, Clay, was like, no, we're cool.
I mean, this is at the time when BBC Two was doing a lot of the jumping to, and I think they made like a House Robot 2 for Robot Wars.
Yeah, I think I remember like bits of Sergeant Bash, I'm pretty sure we're on it.
Yeah. And our final robot, which takes up half the pool,
Lawrence the Learner.
Which has metal butt cheeks, as Noel Sharkey is very quick to point out. So this is meant to look like a person.
I mean, maybe a person that's been murdered and wrapped in carpet or something.
So, carpet. Now I know that we hate on it, or about to hate on it. Accelerate is very fast when it starts. Then it bangs into the wall and it seems to hit its head and get dizzy. And just sort of limp along. And in any other race, it would be overtaken. But.
No. It does.
Thankfully and mercifully, we cut to 5 minutes later.
5 minutes later.
Yes.
Because the thing is, like, there is a part where it shows Accelerate from below, and you can clearly see that it does have, like, kind of steering, but it, I guess it just wasn't working properly.
Yeah.
And either that, or I think it ran out of, like, battery, because see, by the time it shows it at the 4 minutes 56 seconds hitting the other side of the pool, it was going so much slower.
Yep.
So I think it started to run out of juice.
Yeah. I think you're right.
And then after the race, Ed interviews a little kid, a RoboDuck, who I would probably argue this was the best of their robots, because this one actually looked like it was doing something, and it was a debilitating injury to RoboDuck that took it out, because they said that one of the little feet got injured.
And so it was just swimming in a circle.
Yeah, so Ed finally asks the kid, oh, is this your swan song? And the kid just kind of looks at him like,
what? What's a swan song?
I don't get it.
And Jane Middlemas gives him shit the next time he's on screen. Like, going, why are you trying to do literary jokes with children?
And he's like, I didn't really realise my audience. And then I think, like, when
what
he
is
interviews...
his audience? I feel like
his audience is the parents that are forced to sit and watch this with their kids.
Yeah, because I do get the impression I do like the subversion of it's the female main presenter and the guy who's like the pit side reporter. I do like that inversion, but yeah, he's more at the Clarkson end of the enthusiasm scale.
Yeah, like, even, like, his jokes come off kind of dry at times.
Yeah.
But, like, for some reason, I just feel as if it really works for him.
Oh, I
guess it
evidently works for BBC, because I'm pretty sure he's here for the long haul while the presenters continue to change.
Yep.
So we move on to the final heat live from the side of the pool. As we have Manta Ray. Or Matter Ray, sorry.
So yes, Matter Ray, which is a polystyrene thing.
Hydra, which is a creature, according to the people. They're not sure what it is.
It's a shark frog thing.
I just like, I love the way they're just like, it's just a creature.
Yep.
Water Boatman?
Which looks like someone has painted the brain black.
Yeah.
And no, and I love past me's naivete when it's like, this is the most horrifying thing to appear in the swimming. Mm-hmm. Oh no. Oh, poor innocent me.
Had you watched Techno Games back in the day?
I did, but I didn't remember any of it.
I remember
Scuttle, Skeletron, and the fact that Skeletron got its ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't remember anything from beyond Season 1 apart from that Scuttle worked, and that eventually Big Fat Scuttle shows up, and then it showed up on Robot Wars.
Yeah, Scuttle B-squared.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like that's the thing, is like I had at least seen every season during a rewatch, but the one robot that you're making reference to is something that has always been in my head and will never probably leave.
I don't think it is, because I think you and I are thinking of a different robot, but okay.
Okay, right, well. Okay, let's just say it, and then we'll cut this.
So, we next have Quack Attack, which I just have note big.
Oh, it's a beefy boy.
It's a beefy, beefy boy. And Swimmatron, which is a bottle.
With a head up.
Yeah, literally a bottle with a head on it.
Disembodied head again.
What is the... Why is the disembodied heads? I don't remember this many disembodied heads on robots.
No. It's really, like, eye-opening now.
So,
like, that we've seen this many disembodied heads to the point where it's genuinely making me wonder about the psyche of some robot builders.
Yeah. And finally, So we actually look at the race itself. Hydra is probably... is undoubtedly the quickest, but it veers about.
It's not the purple Hydra.
But yeah, it's that kind of thing of, as with so many of these other heats, the speed would be so much quicker if they kept straight, and it's telling that the two robots that are setting the pace in the heat are the two that can keep straight.
Yeah, because it's going to be what exactly is going to happen when we get to the semi-finals and we have a race that potentially has five robots that all veer off to the left and bounce off the wall.
Absolutely.
But Hail Hydra, because it makes it in less than 1.8 seconds.
Yep, I mean, Dippy Flippy is still setting the pace so far. I also have a note here, Water Boatman and Quack Attack collide.
I have Water Boatman and Quack Attack swim hand in hand.
Yeah. So,
hey guys, Chris here, and we're just going to take a short break to thank our contributors today. The logo was designed by Greg Watt, and the theme song, which you can hear right now, is Techno X with their song Master Machine.
Here's an advert for a podcast we think you'll enjoy. I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies starting from Batman Mask of Phantasm, and continuing on to Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU podcast and subscribe today. We briefly visit Japan again, and this is starting to get a bit, we need to pad out the entire runtime.
Yeah, because these are getting progressively longer.
So we meet a bunch of robots that can play music, can talk, and have very dexterous hands to the point where, and they're very they're so proud of this that they give it away before they actually show it. A robot that can crack an egg and is gentle and controlled enough not to just crack it on being handed it.
Yeah. I mean, that one's quite impressive. And there's the one that can react to light and smell, which is quite interesting.
Absolutely.
That's fucking terrifying because it's just a face.
Yeah. Again, a lot of this, the huge caveat is so much of this was something going, this was 20 years ago. And I think...
Clearly, this TV show, meant to be more directed at kids, kids do not care about this.
I think the other thing with a lot of these robots as well, I think we're kind of going, the way that technology seems to be going, we're going away from humanoid robots. Mm-hmm. And it's noticeable a lot of the robots in this are humanoid.
There's a very interesting one, I think it's in one of the later episodes, where they explain why, like, all the robots like ghettos, and it's just they're just more approachable.
Yeah. So, well, that's then. I know that's what people say. Sat navs with male voices are ignored more often, or something like that. Like, it's actually they find that people don't use male voices in sat navs. We then get. So go ahead.
Speaking of robots, like the TomTom and Satnavs.
Yep.
There's a good example of like current day robotics for you in a way.
Oh, absolutely.
Anyway, yes, as you were saying, the rope climb, artificial style, is next up.
Which I've noticed. Is there only two entrants in the animal rope climb, and that's why they've not, and they're saving it so they can have Skeletron in the last episode?
I want to maybe say that there's four.
Right.
I think there's pretty much two heats in a final, and yeah. The other robots are anywhere. Well, I think there's one that's half decent, but
yeah.
Just still out of the league of Skeletron.
They've designed the category so Skeletron can get a medal.
Yes, exactly. They designed a category purely for Skeletron to win. Although, it does seem as if what they're doing is they're purposely doing one event and clearing it before they go to another, because as we see, in some of these up-and-coming episodes, we finished the high jump, and then the next episode we then go to the long jump and then continue that. So maybe it just may be the case of they're wanting to get the artificial rope climb out of the way before they do the natural one. Yeah.
So we have Climatize, which kind of looks like the sort of robot we're getting used to, and Ascender, which is a giant post box.
Which I appreciate.
Absolutely. Post boxes. I wonder if that's something that's familiar to you, Grizz, for some reason that might that we won't discuss on here. This race, it is not as fast as the pace-setting robot in the artificial rope climb.
The high climber?
High climber. However, we do actually get a race for about half the rope.
Yeah. Like, and it's one of these things that's really annoying that we actually get an actual race and it's not just one robot completely out-roboting the other.
Absolutely. That said, it does end up one of the robots does conk out near the top.
Just before the end.
Just before the end, absolutely.
But Ascender ascends to victory in 9.77 seconds.
Absolutely. And Climatize just conks out before he gets to the top, which is a shame. It wouldn't have been far off 15 seconds.
No. And just because of what we see a bit later in the artificial rock climb, it really is a shame because I reckon it had potential to maybe make it.
Yeah, maybe. It's one of those things. It's a bit like when you watch someone at, well, an amateur team at a major sport, and you've done really well to get where you are. The problem is, because you're against some of the best in the country, you look quite amateur, but you've actually done really well.
Yeah.
Anyway, there are two events left in the day, which is, we have the high jump, where we have the return of a sports athlete who very clearly is kind of going, I don't know.
Yeah, so, I know, it's always like, so what would be your technique if you were into something like this? And he just kind of looks and goes, this isn't even close to what I do. So he just kind of makes up some just general jargon, just like, oh, just, you know, stick to your techniques and don't overthink it. And it's like, I mean, for general jargon, not actually a bad way to bluff your way through a payday.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, we have three robots, one of which is Viper, which is a bizarre-looking little thing. But it's basically, it almost looks like a large bullet. And when it works, it looks like one too.
Yeah, definitely just shot right up there.
The first jump definitely isn't there because it just it falls over.
I just love the little set it off robot that they have that just has the little thing. It's like, and then just knocks it over.
I do like it. Actually, looks like a robot though, as opposed to a couple of bits of plastic and an elastic band. Speaking of bits of plastic and elastic band, jumping banana.
Well, at least that one had a bit more character.
So, jumping banana, it's spectacular, but it doesn't really do anything. It does less than a meter, and it kills itself doing it.
And once again, jumping banana was kind of presented clearly in the pit of Robot Wars.
Yeah. And the third and final entrant to this particular heat is Wide Mouth Frog, which is like a... I can't remember the name for this, but it's like a set of folding hinges. I'm sure there's a word for that type of hinge, but I can't remember it. But it...
Good friend, got it. See if I can... Let's see.
So whilst you do that, I'll talk about its jump. So what happens is it's meant to look like a frog.
The this first... way I know it's a frog, yes.
The first jump that it does is okay, about 4.15 metres, which is very good. The one thing I did know, it missed the sand pit and fell through onto the ground.
Yeah, it fell through, like, the staging.
Its second jump, which we'll just bring up now, is given the live treatment and is built up, and it's not a terrible jump, but it's still only 5.35 metres, nowhere near the world record.
No. And then they inform us that Jumping Banana has injured itself.
Yep.
It's now out of the competition. And obviously I can get what you were saying when you're like, yeah, they build this one up with the live treatment. But then they show Viper's second attempt.
Yeah, before that they show Viper's second attempt. And, well...
These were backwards.
I'm going to go a little bit of a rant here.
Okay, well, just before you do that, let's just say, well, when it works, it works.
Yes, it hits the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, by definition, it has to be given the gold medal, because it hits the roof. It cannot go any further.
Yeah, and then they continue to make jokes about that, about, oh, we need to drill a hole through the wall.
And it does annoy me, because I was sitting there and go, so, by definition, there's absolutely no way for you to have a definitive winner, because if someone else does the same thing... Spoiler alert, that's what happens. It means that you actually don't know which of the two is better.
Yeah, and believe me, like, I'm going to have a chat about that when we get onto that other one in a few weeks.
And yes, I have a particular view, and I think you and I are going to agree here, but we'll see. About which robot should have been given the victory.
Yes. And I think I'm thinking the same.
So, before that, we finish up this week's episode with the Micro Mouse. And again, with...
Micro Mouse.
So, again, I think... Up until this point, I've never got the Micro Mouse. I just think it's a sort of... I've always seen it as this really kind of, yep, I'm sure it's brilliant to watch live. I'm sure it's even more fun to compete in live, to actually compete in with your robot. It must be brilliant, much like the Rocket. However, I don't normally think it's too televisual. And such is the case with Maisie, the first of the two robots we see here. It takes 2 minutes to do it. It's not really that spectacular.
And the one thing that is sick to do, it does wrong because it was
a mess. Lost.
First thing it does is turn itself into a dead end.
Then we get Enterprise.
Oh.
Which we're told in advance, this isn't my robot. I'm just bringing it for a friend. And the robot's 7 to 8 years old.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a lot of work put into it.
And we get quite a detailed description. It is a real shame that we don't actually get to meet the original builder, because I get the impression that it would actually be very interesting.
Yes, yes.
This robot flies. Because one thing...
I was kind of hoping that when the name was brought up that maybe... It might have been a name that you recognised, and then you were going to inform me, oh, he built blah, blah, blah for Robot Wars, but I guess not.
I didn't look into it. He might have done. I've not looked. I get the impression probably not, because I get the impression he'd have been spending, like, he would have been concentrating on this tournament. As we previously established, this is a big event in of itself, and these robots are very complex.
But he had to go on holiday.
Yeah. So Enterprise, one of the things it does is, if it knows it's going straight, it accelerates hard.
Yeah.
And it really accelerates. It's incredible to watch.
Right, so we start this by looking at the time of beat, which was 28.22 seconds, which was held by Millennium Bug, and that has stood the test of time every episode so far. So when Maisie goes, it takes 1 minute 47 seconds to get round the maze. And it just, like, I just want to preface this by saying 28.22 seconds is not an easy time. Like, that is a really hard time to beat.
I don't think if you ran a maze, you would do an equivalent to the human size. I think you'd struggle to do it in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Be lucky if I get out of the fucking first turn.
Yeah.
In 30 seconds. So, saying all that, Enterprise, the international class mouse, as this guy's pal, like, I mean, the guy that ran the mouse was definitely, like, really proud of his friend and his friend's achievement of building Enterprise the mouse.
Yep.
So, boom, he sets it to go, and it practically halves the time for the micro mouse.
Yeah, 13 seconds faster. 15 seconds.
15.3 seconds. And that was the last mouse to run. It takes the gold. And it was obviously the first and only time that we got the superimposing of the Millennium Bug and it being slower than every other robot that ran this.
Yeah.
And then he's interviewed afterwards, and he was kind of like, I wish this was my mouse, but it wasn't, and doody-doo, he's done it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least, like, he never pretended at any point that it was his, because he could have just absolutely went and goes, yep, this is my mouse, this is Enterprise.
Oh, absolutely. So, that brings us to the end of day 4. Of Techno Games, and
with the final we have the gold, silver and bronze to give it.
Yep, and the bronze went to a wall crawler, so fair play to them.
Yeah,
managing to in quite clearly a class that is never going to win to get on the podium is a particularly when there's more advanced robots taking you on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Millennium Bug with the silver, Enterprise with the gold, but Dot being the one of these is not like the others, so good for
him. And it was a son beating his dad as well.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen enough videos of dads beating their sons, so it's nice to see it from the other way around for once.
Okay. Because I'm sure that's dark.
Wait, what was the other way that you thought?
Fathers beating their sons.
Oh, right.
Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, look, okay, well, cut that out.
I mean, that was meant to be the joke, like, I've just watched videos of fathers beating their sons. Why would I watch videos like that? I don't know.
Anyway, so that is the end of day 4, and we will be back with day 5. The last of the heat, the last of the first week.
It's just not rocket surgery.
Nope, it's not. Oh, that's an event.
Rocket surgery.